Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
The Franchise Geeks present Social Geek Radio. Today's episode is being brought to you by Social Joey and the Franchise Marketing Leadership Conference. Hello, geeks. I'm Jack Munson, your social media consigliere. And joining me today from way up north is our friend Steve Cody talking tech trends. Steve, how are you today?
Great. Thanks, Jack. Glad to be here.
We want to get into what's happening in some various industries that we're both working in and maybe some shifts we're seeing. But let's start with your background. What's your story, Steve?
Grew up with a single mom. We didn't have really a lot of money. And my grandfather was saving $10 a month for me to go to university. And by the time I was in grade 10, very dyslexic, so figured out that school was not for me. And that $10 had equaled $1,200 by that time. So I went to my grandfather. I said, can I take the $1,200 and start my own business? And we talked about it. He agreed. So basically bought a squeegee, a bucket, and a ladder, and we started a window cleaning company, and I ended up leaving school. So, yeah.
Steve, I'll stop you there. One of the things I don't hear a lot in the franchising industry is, I was born a millionaire.
Yeah, exactly.
we don't hear that a lot around here these days. But I love it. So for the $1,200 you got, a squeegee, a bucket, and a window cleaning business was born.
Exactly. Yeah. And I had one problem, scared of heights, right? So that was, so it wasn't really, really well thought out.
But you also had a fear of going hungry. So I'm guessing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and I had a girlfriend that's now my wife. So we got started in window cleaning, and we grew that to be the largest in our city. And we ended up selling that probably about 7 years later, and it's still around today. It's been through two different owners. But while we were in window cleaning, we got into the swing stage rental business. So we became the spider dealer for Eastern Canada. As that was happening, we ended up getting into the scaffolding business. So we ended up doing some large industrial projects. So we had really those three companies going. Then we sold the window cleaning company so that I could buy a building, a larger building, so that we could get into the lift business. So we became the JLG dealers, so scissor lifts and booms. So we ended up starting to do that. And then that ended up rolling into a Bobcat dealership. So we, the little skid steers you see riding around.
Yep.
We sold that to Hertz out of New York. My goal was to be a millionaire so I wasn't a millionaire when I started out. My goal, though, was to be a millionaire by the time I was 30. And it just so happened to be that I was in New York at the Hertz head office signing the paperwork to sell our company on my 30th birthday. So I thought that was kind of cool. So, kind of if you wish for something, it might happen, right?
Well, if you wish for it and work for it at the same time, I think there's a connection there.
Yeah. So we sold that, and we had in the meantime, we had sold our scaffolding and sold our swing stage business. Then took a year off. During that year, didn't really know what to do. And my mom was getting married, needed to rent some tables and chairs. So I tried that. I didn't like that experience. So I said, well, maybe I'll get into the party rental business. So we got into that, and we're still in it. So we're celebrating our 21st year now. We started franchising that, I would say, about, I don't know, like 11 years ago, we started looking at franchising. And that's where really I got started in software, because we had built our own proprietary software that we felt was a competitive advantage for us. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't find anything in franchising that really did that. And what had started my journey in software was we were driving from Ottawa, Canada to Florida, and I played E-Myth. I don't know if you've ever listened to E-Myth Revisited, but you know, that kind of was a big aha moment for me in terms of, okay, maybe I don't need to be working like 7 days a week, 18 hours a day, and maybe I should have more process. So that's why we developed the software, was to do that. Became our competitive advantage. We got into franchising, couldn't find anything that really met that same need, so we started making our own franchise software to run our business.
I always find it fascinating when someone didn't wake up one day and says, you know, I want to be in the software business, or I just have such a love for writing code.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want to create a software company. No, I think the best software out there and the best technologies out there are people who didn't have a desire to build that. They found a gaping hole and they're filling a void in some industry.
Yeah, like solving our own problem.
Yeah, yeah. You solved your problem, and hey, maybe somebody else has the same problem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that worked quite well, and then we started a Halloween business called Monster Halloween. So we did temporary stores right across, well, in both Canada and the U.S. So that was a nice business. We started franchising that as well. And then it was January 2013, we started another company called Cody Mobile. So it was like mobile auto detailing, mobile carpet cleaning. So several mobile services, really run out of a Sprinter van, because what I was trying to do was find a way to make sure you could make people successful, mm-hmm. but taking a lot of the risk out of it. Because, you know, kind of what you hate somebody doing is buying a franchise and then losing their house if things don't work out.
Right.
Cody Mobile was kind of started for that reason, and it was going really well. And then June 2013, our son passed away, and I ended up in bed for about 9 months. Mm. And so through that process, we had to have a fire sale of all of our companies. So we sold everything off, and at the end of it, all I really had left was that software that I had built. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to turn this into a business. So August 2014, we incorporated the Better Software Company, and we started really with three people. We grew it to 89 people.
Wow.
And, yeah. And so like, that's kind of the journey. So there's no grand plan. It's just life gets in the way and you make the best of it. So,
yeah. And I also love stories where, you know, you hit the peaks and then you hit a definite valley.
Yeah.
And, I don't know what percentage of people stay in the valley, but you went on to find another peak. And here we are today. You also have this kind of interesting parallel paths in the rental business and the franchise business and the software business. I see other people who are doing sort of the same thing, maybe in some different businesses, but there's always this, you know, franchising plus rental or franchising plus software or something like that. There's something about franchising that just brings in people that are on these different parallel paths, I think. What is it about franchising that you said, I want to stay in this and I want to build technology for this particular sector?
Well, I think it kind of goes back to the Cody Mobile thing. I think what I like most about franchising is, you know, like as an entrepreneur, you run into so many people who say, oh, I want to start my own business. I hate my job. And, you know, and they're just, and you know, you talk to them a year later and they haven't really done anything about it. And I think what franchising does is it gives kind of people the process, the brand, you know, the support, everything an ordinary person that is not necessarily an entrepreneur, it gives them all the tools to kind of get out of that rut and be doing something they really enjoy. And when when Cody Mobile, we did mobile auto detailing, and man, I'm telling you, these guys that bought these auto detailing franchises, like we had one guy, he had been a service manager forever. And, you know, about 4 months into buying his franchise, Stevie says, can we meet in the morning? And I'm, you know, you're kind of thinking, oh boy, here we go. You know, maybe there's a problem, but we met and he said, Stevie says, you know, from my wife and myself, I just want you to know the impact that you have had on our life. I've lost weight. I'm happier at home. My marriage life is better. So when you hear those kind of things, and you're able to create something that offers that to people, and to me, that's very special.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's something that you're doing too that I try to do it, and others try to do it. But you know, franchising gives franchisees and business owners the process you're talking about, and the program and the tools, and you're providing the tools for the franchisor to be able to do that, to do the support and, you know, to help that process along and help people stay with the program. So I think that's kind of where that parallel really comes together. What do you see happening in either franchising or the software and technology side of it as some trends that you're watching right now that all of the brands in franchising should be aware of and maybe some things we should look out for? Let's talk about a few of those things.
Perfect. Yeah. And it's a good question. When we were at the IFA this year, it was a real eye opener because it was the first time we really had people coming around the booth and saying, do you have open APIs? And even hearing that word, you know, if you think back 3 years ago, nobody was saying that word. It's hard to change in franchising, right? Because it's not just one person changing, it's many. But now you can kind of see the tide where we're at the point where people realize, so both franchisor and franchisee, and I think it's actually being influenced more by the franchisees, that they need technology to succeed and definitely to stay competitive. So that's, to me, the biggest change that, you know, kind of the biggest thing is people are now, they now know that they need technology to be successful in franchising. And it's not like when we're talking to customers, they're not just looking for technology. Like they're not looking, where are you today? But they're looking at what kind of company are you? Like, where are you going to be in 5 years? Are you investing in technology, or did you just make something and you want to kind of milk it for money? Yeah. So we're hearing those questions, right? And it's not just, we introduced a product called B-Pro Core. So our product is called B-Pro, which is our operating solution. So you can book the jobs, you can watch your franchisees' health, you know, the employees can punch in, punch out. So everything you need basically to run the entire operation is what B-Pro does. We invest about $4 million a year into the core technology, but because we have this trend of people understanding technology a lot more and just knowing they need it, what we're getting is kind of the 100 plus unit franchise operators, they have really specific needs in terms of what they think they need, you know, regarding technology that is their competitive advantage. So what we did with B-Pro Core, instead of having to like rebuild this all the time, is we're saying, let's use our core functionality and let's just build off of that for these opportunities. And that saves the customer a lot of money. Because, you know, 90% of it's already built. So we're just customizing on top of that. And then they still get to benefit from that $4, $5, $6 million a year that we continue to reinvest in the main product, which is B-Pro. So anyway, so it's kind of, your question is excellent because it's, you know, it's, we saw the trend and we're trying to react to the trend. And so far the reception of that's been pretty good.
Yeah, it's there's a friend of mine and a speaker that we've had at some IFA events that talks about how technology has taken the technology out of technology, and it's so true that no one's really looking for technology now. They're looking for someone to help them with a problem.
Exactly.
And I really liked what you said about, you know, 3-4 years ago at IFA. No one was going to ask you about open APIs. And if you had asked someone about, do you know anything about APIs? They would have looked at you like, you know, where are you from? This is franchising. We don't talk about things like that here. Right. So I think you're right that the franchise systems have just leaped forward in their understanding of, you know, what technology can do for them, what their needs are. And maybe it's that the strong are surviving, right? The people who are open to such things are the ones that are thriving and are still around with us.
The other thing we see too, Jack, I don't know if you see it, but there's a lot of multi-brand operators. So a lot of people, you know, they're leveraging kind of that in-house experience they have to bring on other brands. So, you know, and they're going international.
Yeah.
So we ended up, another way to react to that is, it took us about 8 months, but I've got a partner, his name is Bruce Linton. His full-time job, he's the founder and CEO and chairman of a company called Canopy. They're on the New York Stock Exchange. They're like, I think about a $21 billion market cap. So he's pretty busy with that business. But what we wanted to do was find a CTO that could come in and lead our operations, but not just lead them in North America, to be able to give our customers the opportunity to grow internationally. So we brought a guy in named Graham Brown, and I don't know if you're familiar with Corel or WordPerfect, but he was CTO for many years. He built those two products.
Oh, wow. WordPerfect,
yeah,
so, yes.
Corel, which is, Corel's actually, you know, if you're into graphic art or anything like that, international head office was out of Taiwan, international. So anyways, that was, so Graham, That was another important part in terms of just where we see, how we see technology impacting the franchise industry. So we're trying to stay ahead of the curve.
Wow, that's great. I someone who developed WordPerfect. Wow, I just had a flashback to a lot of papers and essays and things like that on WordPerfect. So that was a good find by you guys.
And he's a good person, like a really good person. So yeah, worked out
good well. Good to hear. It's all about building the right team. Let's talk some other technology shifts and maybe some other trends that you're seeing out there. Anything coming down the pipeline, maybe in the next, let's say the rest of 2019 into 2020, that we should be watching for, or maybe some things that we should be concerned about and you know, sort of building up our defense on?
Yeah, I think what, you know, if you look at what could really change franchising, I think the marketplace and the gig economy could have a big impact on how franchising works, because what it does, it gives them a brand to work behind. It gives them a software application to work behind. Sometimes there's training. So, you know, I think, if you looked at like a TaskRabbit, there's, you know, Upwork, there's a lot of different marketplaces that are starting to pop up. And if you look with PwC, if you look at the stats, just to give you an idea, e-commerce is projected to grow at 8% compounded year over year for the next 7 years. Marketplaces are expected to grow at 29.8% compounded year over year for the next 7 years. So this whole marketplace economy, not sure how franchising defends it, but I think, I mean, it's already disrupting a lot of businesses.
Yeah.
Look at taxi drivers.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Right? Look at hotels. I think it's something to really, you know, for franchising, just to at least start understanding it and, you know, maybe being a part of it as opposed to trying to defend it. So,
yeah, I think that's something that, franchising in general, historically has been very poor at. You know, they would defend against, you know, the inevitable trend. And, but I think, these days the leading franchisors and, you know, groups like the IFA are actually more likely to embrace such change. And, you know, especially when it comes to, like you're talking about with the gig economy, with anything to do with the workforce, because franchising in the US and Canada is just such a major part of the
restaurants. So it's not even like, look at ghost kitchens.
Yeah.
So how does that impact the restaurant franchising industry, right? Because it's not, you know, we used to say location, 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 but now it's kind of like reviews, reviews, reviews.
Yeah, there you go.
You know what I mean? Because you can get Uber Eats, skip the dishes, whatever, delivering the food. So, you know, that's just in its infancy.
Yeah.
And, anyways, I was out with meeting with Lloyd's of London. I was in London last week and meeting with the Apollo Group. They're the largest in marketplace economies. And they've seen their applications have literally tripled in the last year in terms of companies looking to get into this marketplace economy.
Wow.
So anyways, it's going to be interesting.
Very good. We will be back in one moment with the wrap-up for today. But first, this message that the Franchise Marketing Leadership Conference is happening in Atlanta, June 18th, 19th, and 20th. Keynotes include Duncan Wardle, the head of creative and strategy from Disney and Pixar. And yours truly will be leading a social media panel and case study with three very cool franchise brand marketers. Register now at franchisemarketingconference.com. That's franchisemarketingconference.com. Steve Cody, founder and CEO of The Better Software Company, which is really the best name in franchising, I think. whoever came up with that name, I'm guessing that's you. You know, there's my just not a better it. Name. Your kids did?
My kids hate it.
Yeah. Your kids hate it? Oh, yeah. Come on.
Yeah, I had to buy Chinese food to get them to convince them that it was okay.
Dad, you're bragging again. I can just see my daughter's eyes rolling at that one too. Yeah. Steve, where can people connect with you if they've got some questions or if they want to learn more about Be Pro Core or anything else that you guys are working on?
You know what? The best place I like to connect is on LinkedIn. So if you look up Steve Cody, C-O-D-Y, very active on LinkedIn. So love to connect for whatever reason, just to connect and learn from one another would be terrific. If you want to learn more about the product, thebettersoftwarecompany.com. So it's a long URL, but you can go there and kind of get started. And we've got a lot of information on the website. So you'll see right on the website, we live and breathe franchising. That's what we do. So
excellent.
Very passionate about it.
And we'll have links to your LinkedIn and to the website on socialgeekradio.com so people can find that nice and quick. Steve, thanks so much for joining Social Geek today. It was a pleasure speaking as always.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you and good night, everybody.